My new book is called The Whale and the Supercomputer. The subtitle is On the Northern Front of Climate Change. And it's about the whalers on the North Slope, the Inupiaq people who have to deal with a changing climate in their day-to-day life and their subsistence hunting for whales and other hunting out on the ice, and also about the scientists who are going up to the Arctic, primarily in Barrow, and the research that they're doing up there, which is a cutting-edge research for the whole world, really. And what I'm writing about is not so much trying to persuade anybody about climate change, but writing about what is it like to live with climate change, and how do we perceive it, how do we understand it when it's happening, because it's very clear that something very big is happening on the North Slope in terms of the changing weather and changing trends of warmth.
Now, when you say they are studying, is that the Eskimos are studying or the scientific community is studying?
Well, what's interesting about Barrow as a community is that there's been scientific research going on there since 1880, and since the Narl facility was built right after World War II, there's been a tremendous amount of research taking place that was originally funded by the Navy and now is funded by the National Science Foundation, and the Eskimos have been involved in that research right along. So there's a large community of highly science-literate people in Barrow, many of them native people who are subsistence hunters. And so they've got a perspective on it from both the traditional knowledge perspective. You know, they have seen, they see what's happening out there as a people, and they also have a perspective on it from a scientific point of view. And then there's also a tremendous amount of just cutting-edge science in terms of scientists from all over the world going up there. It's, Barrow is actually the most instrumented research site in the Arctic worldwide. So what's going on worldwide in climate change? Some of the biggest stuff that's happening is here in Alaska.
You know, I've been working up there for 30 years now. The first time I went up there was 1974, and I find it still cold.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's cold, but you know, the thickness of the sea ice is reduced by 40% over the last few decades. That's a tremendous reduction. Last year we had the least extent of sea ice on the Arctic Sea since measurements began, and this year it looks like it's the same thing. The spring is coming substantially earlier, fall is coming substantially later. The permafrost is warming up at a tremendous rate, far beyond what you would expect from natural variation. So there's definitely something happening there, and I spent quite a bit of time talking to the natives who, you know, hunt and live on the ice and on the tundra all the time, and the elders are the ones who are most persuaded that something is happening, you know, something they haven't seen in their lifetime. So there's clearly a difference.
It's going to be a very controversial book?
I think that it will be controversial, and here's why. Everything that's come out up to now about climate change has been either the sky is falling and we're all going to die, or it's not real and it's a big hoax. And what I'm trying to do here is take the middle road, and I've put nothing in there that's not fairly certain. You know, I've thrown away all the speculation on both sides, and I've taken the environmentalists to task and said, look, you know, we are going to have to live in this world. This is people are part of the environment, and we are going to have to drill for oil. We are going to have to survive. Nature is not going to be pure. It's already got us in it, and so we've got to find a way to live in it. And so the environmentalists are not necessarily going to like it, and the anti-climate change crowd is not necessarily going to like it. So I think by being in the middle...
Well, then who's going to buy it?
Yeah, right.
You got both sides mad at you. Who's going to buy it?
Well, in the book world, having people mad at you is not such a bad thing. By being moderate, it's being outrageous, because nobody's actually written a moderate book about the subject before now.
Well, we kind of got into this just before the break. What about Antarctica? Did you look at that at all? Is there any, you know, I remember there was a thing just this year about a big chunk breaking off and floating off towards New Zealand or somewhere.
Well, my book, The Whale and Supercomputer, is about individual people and sort of their adventures and what they're going on in their lives. And so I had to focus on one area, and the area I chose was Alaska, and primarily Barrow. And there'd be a lot of people in there that you know, Ted Stevens and Oliver Levitt from ASRC and other people. I went whaling with Oliver in his whale camp and helped him butcher a whale.
Oliver has a rather plush camp, doesn't he, compared to the other guys?
Actually, no. It's I was surprised. You know, for the guy who's the chairman of the board of the largest corporation in Alaska, he has an extremely modest home. He has a nice new snow machines. He has a nice boat, but nothing that a middle-class guy in Anchorage wouldn't have. And his camp, you know, he's sitting out there on a piece of wood and, you know, 10 guys sleeping in a wall tent all together on some polar bear hide. So, you know, everybody's pretty equal in that culture. They don't, you know, people don't put themselves up above other people.
No, I mean that's the Eskimo way. I read right. the 30 Years Below Zero. But Oliver's always struck me as a guy that liked his amenities.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's a guy who is commands a level of respect that it does not exist in the white culture. I mean, he's people view him as unquestionable respect. And we were in a situation up there where the ice was coming in. There's a potential EVU situation where one iceberg hits where you're standing and it can ride up over it and be extremely dangerous. And all the whaling captains up and down the lead are on their VHF, their marine radio, saying, you know, here, you know, what do we do? And Oliver sort of looks at it and says, well, better go, you know. And it's amazing, number one, that they can take this camp. They can get all these boats, tents, everything taken down and put on sleds and carried over this incredibly, you know, bumpy ice by snow machine and get out of there in like 10 minutes. So 10 minutes later, we're standing half a mile away, and, you know, here's like 25 crews, like maybe 100, 150 people standing there, you know, all because he was said, we better start packing up, you know. So it's a great, it's a fascinating culture to get inside to see how they're communicating and how they're doing what they do, because the whole community is working as a team.
We ran into a situation one time. We're coming in by helicopter, and we'd flown down the Colville River, and we landed at New Ixet, and we saw two grizzly bears just north of the village, or south of the village, and I mentioned it, and one of the guys said, well, I guess we should go get them. They got their guns, went down, got in a boat, went up there and shot these two grizzly bears. So while we're still there dealing with them, they came back. They killed them and skinned them, and they said, well, you spotted them. Do you want them?
Yeah.
No, I don't want them, you know, but it was...
That's a whole different way of looking at the world, yeah. I mean, traditional Inupiaq culture, the idea was if an animal came across your path, you really were obligated to kill it because it was giving itself to you.
Yep, spirit.
And you were basically related to the natural world, and that's something that we need to learn from them in terms of dealing with climate change. And we are related to the natural world. We're part of it. And we're going to have to deal with these changes. We can't just ignore what's happening.
So is that the kind of thing you're going through in this book? Is that sort of relationship is, you know, here's this culture and this is how these people think, and now here comes this warming trend that's causing things to change, and it's how they're dealing with it?
That's the main thing about what the book's about, is how they're seeing what's happening, how they're dealing with it. And one of the interesting things about it is that this is not new. This has happened in the past. There was a medieval warm period around 800 AD to 1200 AD when the ice all went away, and then there was the little ice age when the ice came in and got much thicker. So their culture has already been determined and created around climate change. They've gone through it before, and I think that some of the cultural ways that they have are based on that.